Monday, but, yeah, it is. Welcome to Monday, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow is a big day in Wisconsin, and it will be a day of note for both political parties and also a day of note for the ultra wealthy in this country, and a day of note for the 99%. What happens in Wisconsin will have a profound effect on what happens across the rest of the country with the election coming up this November. Scott Walker needs to be recalled and sent packing. Reports say he is now the target of a federal investigation. Who knows? This hour is being sponsored by Chris Keller. His message: please support the recall of Scott Walker in Wisconsin. He is wildly unpopular, but thanks to a more than 12-to-1 spending advantage, he is on the verge of winning the recall. Why should you care? Because President Obama cannot win without the dozen or so democratically leaning so-called swing states like Wisconsin. A win in Wisconsin will signal Romney that with enough money, these states are in play. Click on the Show Walker the Door advertisement on Mike's website, or go to Wisdems, WISDEMS.org, Wisdems.org, to donate. You might want to go to Wisdems.org, WISDEMS.org. Thanks, Christopher. We are going to have the phone lines open all night. If at any time here you would like to join in, the number is 877-996-2556. Saw a video from KCNC in Aurora, Colorado. Well, I don't know if they're in Aurora, but the video was from Aurora, Colorado. And at first I looked at the video and thought, what is this? A bunch of middle-class-looking white people, sitting on a curb, handcuffed, with their hands cuffed behind their backs. I mean, real, you know, middle class looking white folks. You don't see 6, 7, 8 white folks sitting on a curb with their hands cuffed. You know, unless they're looking real scruffy, or if they're occupiers, or if they're somebody the government or the police department targets. But all of a sudden, here's this piece of video. 6 or 7 middle-class white people. Now, I don't know if that affects you, but I live in Atlanta, sort of. And let me put it this way. The local television news stations that I watch, when I watch them come out of Atlanta, and you just don't ever see 6 white people handcuffed with their hands behind their back sitting on the curb. 6 black folks, maybe. 6 Hispanic-looking folks, maybe. 6 Asian folks, maybe. But 6 white people? Yeah, I'm looking at that. What? Real middle-class looking. Well, here's the story. They were innocent bystanders. They weren't doing anything. Like a lot of black folk, they get pulled over. What you doing, boy? Nothing, sir. Sit down. You know, these were innocent white people. Innocent white folks with their hands cut behind their backs. They'd been pulled over by officers using force. The Aurora police, guns drawn, ordered 2 dozen people out of their vehicles. Kids who were in the vehicles were freaking out. What happened? Well, apparently there was a bank robbery at the Wells Fargo Bank at Hampton and Chambers Street in Aurora, Colorado, it says here. And the cops wanted to find the bank robber. So according to KCNC, at least 15 cars were ordered to stop, and authorities pulled their guns on people, told them to get out. Men and women sat in handcuffs while they waited for the police to let them go. A young child at the scene told Channel 11 News, "I was a little scared." Now, I'm just wondering. Always looking for the object lesson in a little incident like this. I am wondering now if any white folks who look at that video or look at the stills, in Aurora or anywhere, and see all these middle-class-looking, well-dressed white people cuffed, hands behind their back, sitting on a curb. I wonder if anybody's going to look at that and say,
is that what the black people talk about happening all the time to them? Could that,
never mind. That'll never happen. But I wonder how those white folks felt. I mean, seriously,
what are you stopping me for?
Well, a white guy robbed a bank, so we're stopping white people. What? I didn't rob no bank. Doesn't make any difference. You're white. You're stopping me because I'm white? Uh-huh. What an experience, huh? What an experience. What an experience that had to be for these Aurora, Colorado, just normal people. Just like all the black people that get stopped. All the Latino people get stopped. All the Asian people get stopped. This is normal. Yeah. I'm just driving. Where are you going? Target. Can you prove it? Get out the car. But I didn't do. Get out the car. Sit on the curb. These cuffs are a little tight. Be quiet. I'm going to charge you with a resisting arrest. Shut up. Mama, what's he do? Shut up, Rob. Put the little boy in cuffs, too. Damn! Oh, well. I just, a person of interest, it says here from KCNC. The person of interest was ultimately apprehended. No information about the suspect has been released. Blah, blah, blah. But this will give the cops to say, see, they'll give them a chance to say, see, we don't just always do this to black people. Oh, really? Yeah, we'd have to do this to white people, too, once in a while. Once in a what while? When's the last while that you did this in? What are you talking about, once in a while? Once in a while? When was the last while that you did this where America can see 8, 9, 11, 10 white folks sitting on the curb, cuffed, looking around going, what? Wait a minute. Why are you pulling me over? And you know what they're thinking? I don't know what they're thinking. But I'm going to guess that they're thinking, damn, I'm protected. Why are they pulling me over? I don't look like a bank robber. How's the bank robber look, sir? Well, usually black. So why are they pulling me over? I didn't do anything. I'm innocent. I am innocent. Well, yeah, you probably are.
Let Mike do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
Anyone past the hour? Is it tomorrow that Mercury makes a transit of the sun? Is it tomorrow? I think it is. Doesn't happen again for, what, another century or two? Is the number here. David is in Santa Fe, listening on XM. Hi, David.
Hi, Mike. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Well, glad you called
I'm
in.
Lakota, David.
Oh, hi.
From Topanga and from here a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a brown guy. So you were talking a minute ago about the people that were sitting on the curb. And apparently white privilege is over, Mike.
Really? Uh-oh.
Oh, man. Well, it's been 500 years or so. Anyway,
well, that's
I saw something here yesterday, and right in Santa Fe, this, you know, quaint little 60,000 people town here.
Yeah.
So there were these five cops, at least, on a side street. They had a young girl about 20 years old, 22, surrounded. And they all had their tasers ready and everything, these big, strong policemen, you know.
Right.
And she was unarmed. She didn't have anything. She's standing there like in shorts and a T-shirt in the middle of the street, and all these cowards were around her, and mm-hmm. they had her surrounded like dogs. I mean, it was so shocking. I wanted to stop, but I would have got tased or shot or something, I'm sure. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So
sure.
The police state is closing in, people, big time. You know, the demon race is running things. For you people out there that don't know, and Mike has said that this many times, people, it's the demon race running things.
Yeah, that's true. I just wonder if white folks can wake up to that reality.
Yeah. I know.
Oh well.
One other quick thing, Mike.
Sure.
I was in LAX recently, about, I don't know, 6 months ago. We'd already gone through security. People are putting their shoes back on. So these, what are they called, TSA goons?
Yeah.
Three of them walk in. They're not even cops.
Right.
And they freeze. So all these people froze. So me and another guy are tying our shoes or something. We didn't freeze. They go, stop what you're doing! And all these people are froze. And like 10 seconds later, he says, okay, go back to what you're doing. This was already passed through security. So they run these little tests on people.
Yeah, I guess so, to see if you have the Pavlovian response yet.
Yeah, well, almost everybody did.
Yeah, well.
One other thing, Mike, I don't want to take too much time. I tried church night a few times recently, but,
yeah.
You know, I could really go off on that.
Yeah, right.
One other thing is, you know, all these political diversions, the religious things, all the little personal things and all this crap, everybody's, all these masses, their attention is focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, they're raping the planet. They're getting ready to drill in the Arctic, et cetera, et cetera. The big pipelines, on and on and on.
Yep.
So that's all I'll say for now, Mike.
Never stops. David, thank you. Good to hear from you again.
Appreciate your show, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care. Did I say Mercury transits the sun? Shame on me. Venus transits the sun tomorrow. It's supposed to be quite something. I read that back in the 1700s when this would occur, that it was through this occurrence. Let me preface it by saying, through this occurrence, even as primitive as things were in the 18th century, early 18th century, scientists were able to establish, because of this transit, that the sun was 93 million miles from Earth. And that the scientists who would spread out sometimes 8-10 months in advance to try to get to places where they could, you know, have a better look, get away from England, get away from Europe. Sometimes those trips became less of a scientific expedition and more of a survival expedition, just trying to stay alive once they got to where they were going. So, what do? Do you get a piece of smoked glass? And no, don't do that. Don't do that. All right. Some folks in a trailer park, if that is still politically correct statement, I guess a manufactured home residence area would be more politically correct and less weighted down with what trailer park is usually weighted down with. But I got a story from Jersey Shore, PA. Folks at the Riverdale Mobile Home Park in Jersey Shore, PA, and what they're dealing with. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour. Hey, have I mentioned Alice at Heel and Howlers, her summer scent insect repellent lately? If you don't get some of this stuff, I don't know, you love being bitten by bugs? Seriously, go to my website, MikeMalloy.com. And over on the right, you'll see animated thing from Heel and Howlers. Click on it and go to oils, under oils. Summer's scent insect repellent. I talk about this a lot because flies and mosquitoes really bug me. Especially the mosquitoes. And with summer scent, it's stopped. I'm just astonished. And Molly goes outside constantly. I mean, she's an outdoor kid. And we put this on her, summer scent. It's the only thing we put on her now when she goes outside. You know, sunblock, but I mean, as far as insect repellent is concerned. And if you haven't tried this, once you try it, that's it. You will never eat with the Burt's Bees and all this other crap. Nuh-uh. You won't do it. I'm telling you. And it doesn't have DEET in it. I mean, you don't spray the stuff on, you roll it on. I think she has a pump, too, but the one we get is a roll-on. The stuff that you spray that you get at the drugstore, Just spray a cloud of it and take a deep breath. Or don't do that. Get some of this, will you? Summer's scent. It's $5. $5. Summer scent. From Alice at Heel and Howlers. The residents of Riverdale Mobile Home Park in Jersey Shore, PA are fighting to prevent their eviction by a water withdrawal facility that serves the fracking industry. This was at Raw Story. This has been going on since last February when the owner of the land on which the trailer park is situated sold it to Aqua America, PVR. Aqua America? Sounds like a company that just would provide clear, fresh water to you. Aqua America, PVR. The catch is the owner of Aqua America is the former head of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Resources. You think he's a Republican? Or a Democrat? It really doesn't matter. So, you know, he's in the EPA. He knows exactly, the Pennsylvania EPA, he knows exactly how poisonous this is. So as soon as he gets out of government, he gets to be head of the company called Aqua America. Matter of fact, he bought it, put it together, he owns it. The residents of this mobile home park received eviction notices. Even before the sale, the property had been rezoned as industrial, and the Susquehanna River Basin Commission had given permission to Aqua America to withdraw up to 3 million gallons of water from the river every day. The residents are mostly middle-aged or elderly. They were given or offered token payments to help them relocate in an area where the influx of these fracking workers has already pushed rents. You know, the American way. Hey, here they come. Oh, goddamn, let's take this $100 a month room and make it $1,000 a month. That's what happened. Now, some of the mobile home park residents did leave. Others decided to fight back with the help of anti-fracking activists and Occupy Wall Street. The resistance now appears to be reaching a climax. The remaining 11 families set up barricades on Friday at the entrance to the community when construction was scheduled to begin. And they have proclaimed an International Day of Action for today. Now, I've seen no reports about what happened to these folks. They expect that they're going to start negotiations with Aqua America tomorrow. And they're demanding the right to remain in their homes and compensation and a right to return for those who have already left. A right to return, a right of return. That is precious. It is precious unless you live in a trailer park. And it was bought by a greedy son of a bitch who wants to suck water out of the ground and start fracking. The right of return! Oh! Don't our hearts beat, and the bugles sound, and the flags flutter. The right of return! But not if you live in a trailer park in Jersey Shore, PA. No. At this point, it is not clear what is likely to happen. Stanley Rogowski, who's been reporting about this from the scene for Huffington Post, explains that the country there, the area, the Susquehanna River Basin area, Lycoming River, that country is poor, semi-rural area, and the natural gas industry promises to bring jobs to the area. Nicholas Benedictus, Aqua America, and the 1% have at their fingers the power to coerce and propagandize that would be difficult to resist if it were brought to bear on Riverdale with the force that it was brought to bear on Zuccotti Park and Oscar Grant Plaza last fall. So here we go. Nicholas D. Benedictus, of course, is the owner of Aqua America PVR. What the hell does PVR say anymore? Aqua America. Here we are. We're Aqua America. Do you like that? Is that nice alliteration? Aqua America. Aqua. That means water. Aqua America. Now get the hell off my property and take your tacky ass trailers with you.
But sure, I'm 87 years old, and I everybody's dead. I don't have anywhere to go here.
Not my problem, old timer. Oh my God. Michelle is in Los Angeles. Hello, Michelle.
Okay, are you going to vote for Tom Barrett or mail-in?
Michelle?
Hold on, Tom.
I'll put you on hold and come back. Michelle. We'll come back to you in a second, Michelle. In Florida, Republicans have never stopped searching for new ways to keep ballots out of the hands of, non-whites, poor people, you know, groups that tend to vote Democratic. And as the New York Times had in an editorial or report editorial last week, they have cut back on early voting. The state of Florida has tried to stamp out registration drives, imposed identification requirements that make the ones we now have in Georgia look like child's play. Now, hoping to gain even more fraudulent activity, this rancid son of a bitch, Governor Rick Scott, is trying to clear voter rolls of non-citizens. That's a menace that only he and a few other Republican governors have been able to detect. Our voter rolls are full of non-citizens. Really? How did that happen? Oh, it just did. Acorn did it. By the way, hold on a second. Satan? Hey, how's Andy doing? How's everything in hell? First of all, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be impolite. How's everything down in hell? Oh, hot as usual. Yeah, I know. Yeah? Andy's doing what? You're kidding. Well, all right, let's not talk later. All right. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Florida. All of a sudden, there are non-citizens on the voter rolls in, Arizona and Florida and God knows probably Michigan and maybe South Carolina. Last year, Governor Scott ordered the state's elections division to compare the rolls, the voter rolls in his state, to the Federal Department of Homeland Security's immigration database. The Fed said, no, not going to do that. Then a few weeks ago, the state pressed the Department of Motor Vehicles into comparing the people listed on the voter rolls to the Department of Motor Vehicles' list of driver's licenses. Now, the list of driver's licenses will often have out-of-date citizenship information. The DMV came up with nearly 2,700 voters considered suspicious and sent them letters demanding that they produce proof of citizenship within 30 days. They wanted to vote. Wow, this is America. This is the United States of America. This hour has been sponsored by Chris Keller. His message, please support the recall of Scott Walker in Wisconsin. He's wildly unpopular. Thanks to a more than 12-to-1 spending advantage, he is on the verge of winning the recall. Why should you care? Because Obama cannot win without the dozen or so Democratic-leaning so-called swing states like Wisconsin. The win in Wisconsin will signal Romney that with enough money, these states are in play. Go to wisdems.org, WISDEMS.org, wisdems.org. All right? Florida. These Republican governors, boy, I'll tell you, you give them just an inch and these sons of bitches will cut your throat. And they're in the process of doing that. So, the governor's henchman said, if Department of Homeland Security won't give us a list, our own DMV will. So they got a list, and they compared the list of registered, driver's licenses with the voter rolls. And, of course, the driver's licenses always often have out-of-date citizenship. The driver's license rolls or lists do not show, for example, naturalizations, citizenship or other updates. So many on the list turned out to be citizens. There were 2,700 voters considered suspicious, and they were sent letters. More than 350 people in the Miami area alone came forward to dispute their presence on the list, and they were forced to take steps to demonstrate their citizenship. One of them was a guy who was born in Brooklyn in 1921 and earned the Bronze Star during the Battle of the Bulge in World War II, for Christ's sake. And after talking to local election officials, he was required to send a copy of his Army discharge papers. Oh, yeah, Bill's last name was Internicola. Oh, Internicola, huh? That doesn't sound like Scott, Rick Scott. That's a good white name and an American name, too. What is this Bill Internicola? Oh. Now, those who didn't respond to the election division's letter in time may well include legitimate voters who don't speak English. Oh, well, you can vote. Why not? Or they've moved and didn't get the letter. Or they haven't checked their mail. Or there could be a million, reasons. Okay, at least 10 reasons. The Miami Herald found that 58% of the people on the list of nearly 2,700 voters were Hispanic. 14% were black. No, really? Whites and Republicans were least likely to show up on the list. No. Well, that just shows to go you, right? White folks are more responsible. And Republicans, most of all, praise Jesus. Two other states conducting similar purges like this one are Colorado and New Mexico. And see, Florida, Colorado, and New Mexico all have large Hispanic populations, so got to get those Mexicans. They're all seen as Mexicans. Got to get those Mexicans off the polls. They'll just vote for Obama. Now, I'll tell you what, why don't you try this trick, boys, you filthy Republican pigs? You know what's going on in Wisconsin, even as we talk? This is from Tom Barrett's website. He's the man who's challenging this filthy, filthy Scott Walker. There are robocalls going out. Walker's Texas allies have launched a wave of voter suppression calls. This is what they do. Here's what people are receiving across Wisconsin. Hello, if you signed the recall petition, your job is done, and you don't need to vote on Tuesday. Thank you. See what these pricks do? Hello. Hi. How are you? If you signed the recall petition, your job is done, and you don't need to vote on Tuesday. Hello, how are you? If you signed the recall petition, your job is done, and you don't need to vote on Tuesday. I just wonder, for you people in Wisconsin who are going to vote to preserve this miserable son of a bitch who is your governor, does it bother you at all that 70% of the money to protect this slime has come from out of state, whereas 70% of the money to get rid of this slime has come from inside the state? Do you care about things like that, you Wisconsinites? especially Republicans? Do you care? Do you care that these outside forces, especially from Texas, are protecting your degenerate slimeball of a governor? The people of Wisconsin won't protect him. Does any of that bother you? Just asking. You know, it's your state. It's your governorship. It's your conscience. It's your sense of justice. And it's your willingness or unwillingness to continue to cut your own goddamn throats. So, have at it. We'll be back after the break. It's Joint Strike. Say tomorrow, vote to recall this pig. Seriously, the Scott Walker. To give you an example of what this person has done, this is from the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. Scott Walker has instituted the loss of fundamental freedoms. It is now illegal for approximately 175,000 Wisconsin public employees to engage in real collective bargaining with their employers. Wisconsin enacted the most restrictive voter eligibility law in the country, which could effectively deny some 200,000 qualified voters the right to cast a ballot. Now, a court injunction issued March 12th prohibits the enforcement of the photo ID requirement. Makes no difference. This is what this lousy bastard has done. Loss of family-sustaining jobs. Here's three quick examples. Rejection of $810 million in federal funds to construct a passenger rail system between Milwaukee and Madison, which would have connected to a broader Midwest rail network eventually. Now, that'll give too many working-class people jobs, and the 1% doesn't want working-class people to have jobs like that. They want minimum-wage jobs, and they want you to be right on the verge of desperation so you do exactly what you're told. Loss of 18,000 private sector jobs from the ripple effects of the public employee wage and benefit cuts, plus the massive cuts to public services and education in the 2011 to 2013 Wisconsin state budget. Why are you folks going to vote to keep him in office? Do unionized workers really infuriate your ass that much that you're willing to take the knife and cut it across your own goddamn throat? Really? Do Democrats really make you that angry? Like gay folk, right? He's initiated a loss of state support for green jobs related to energy conservation. And Walker's support for unfair international trade agreements have already cost Wisconsin 82,000 net manufacturing jobs. This is your governor, Wisconsin. Hey, Badgers. Hey, this is your governor. Huh? This is not an invader who's come into your country to rape, pillage, loot, and burn. Although, well, I don't know about the rape part, unless you consider some other form of rape different from the ones that a lot of states are trying to impose on women when they go in for the privacy of a gynecological exam. But I digress. Also, Scott Walker has now got a one-week waiting period requirement before a worker is eligible for unemployment benefits. Oh, that's nice. Isn't that nice? The stress and the strain is so bad. Will this prick ever have to not go unemployed now that he's become the champion of the Rupert Murdoch Terror Broadcast Organization and the one percenters around the country? What, do you think Scott Walker will ever have to wait a week before he gets unemployment comp? What a miserable son of a bitch thing to do, isn't it? Oh, you out of work? Okay, you got to wait a week. He's also put in place weaker child labor protections, which will allow employers to work minors more days and longer hours. Communities cannot now pass ordinances that improve Family and Medical Leave Act benefits. A corporate income tax loophole was reopened that cost taxpayers $46 million without requiring that any jobs be created. More capital gains tax breaks for rich investors. It will cost taxpayers a minimum of $115 million without requiring that any jobs be created. A new production activities tax credit for manufacturers and agribusinesses that will basically eliminate the corporate income tax and cost taxpayers a third of $1 billion. No requirements that any jobs be created in return. Tax breaks for junk mail that will cost taxpayers $500,000 per year without requiring that any jobs be created. Taxes increased on 145,000 low-wage workers with children through a reduction of $55 million in the earned income tax credit. This is not an invader. This is not an alien. This is your governor, Wisconsin. This is your governor. Why is he doing this to people in his own state? Do you not ask yourselves that question, you Republican asses? Do you not ask that question, you right-wing nuts? Why is he doing this to your fellow Wisconsinites? What is wrong with you? Taxes are now increased on thousands of seniors by eliminating the inflation adjustments in the homestead tax credit. Total revenue for public schools cut by $1.6 billion, the largest in Wisconsin history. Do you not care, Wisconsin, about your children being educated? What is wrong with you? The private school voucher program for students in Milwaukee is expanded. Families earning up to $67,000 can get a voucher for $6,442 per child, funded by taxpayers, to attend a religious private school. Do you not care? Does none of this mean anything to you, you Wisconsinites? Are you not? I mean... University of Wisconsin system cut by a third of $1 billion. A cut of $76 million in the shared revenue program, that's state aid which helps local governments provide quality public services while holding down property taxes. Don't you care? State aid for popular recycling programs in local communities cut by $24 million. 22,000 people in Wisconsin are expected to lose health coverage, and at least 305,000 more will pay higher premiums and copays for Badger Care based on cuts in Medicaid. Does this not mean anything to you? Are you going to let this son of a bitch continue? Are you going to send a message to the rest of the United States? We love this! We love this man! He's the future of America! We love him! He cuts and burns and slashes and rapes and loots and pillages. We love him. Really? Enrollment was capped in the popular family care program, which serves the elderly and the disabled in their homes. The Obama administration ordered Walker to remove the cap, and it was removed. But additional funding was not provided. State aid is eliminated for health care centers that serve over 12,000 uninsured Wisconsin women and are run by Planned Parenthood. It just goes on and on. Wisconsinites, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep this miserable, rancid son of a bitch as your governor? Are you serious? Are you serious? Is this really what you want in Wisconsin? Is it? Does Obama piss you off that much? Is the idea of a black man in the White House that disruptive to your life that you're going to do this to yourself and other people in your state? Are you serious? Michelle is in Los Angeles. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Mike. I'm really sorry about when you tried to connect me before. I was phone banking for Tom Barrett on my other line.
Well, I understand.
Yeah, I'm really concerned. I mean, I've never been to Wisconsin, but, you know, and I'm out in L.A., but I know what this election means, this recall means. Mm-hmm. You know, when you watch Rachel Maddow, the top 10 people that are going against Karl Rove's Crossroads GPS are unions. I mean,
they're what?
The only people that have money to give to campaigns or to put ads on the air,
right,
are unions against, you know, Karl Rove's,
right, uh-huh,
Crossroads GPS, you know, uh-huh, and all the other billionaires. You know, I don't want one party rule in this country. I definitely don't want Republicans to rule single-handedly.
Well,
you know?
You know what, Michelle? We just about have that now. Let me ask you something. How many high-profile Democrats, national Democrats, have gone to, you know, I guess Bill Clinton showed up the other day, but Clinton, I don't count him. He's a Republican. How many high-profile Democrats, members of Congress or the administration, or have gone to Wisconsin and given an impassioned plea for people to at least understand what this man is doing and vote accordingly? How many?
The only one I can think of is Feingold. You know, he was the only one.
Russ Feingold, but he's from Wisconsin, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right. So, but no one has traveled to Wisconsin, no national Democrats. Now, this, if nothing else, this should be a clear indication of how the Democrats feel about, Republican takeover. They don't care. I mean, what other conclusion are we supposed to draw from this? I mean, seriously.
I don't give up. You know, I'm a fighter, and I'm doing whatever I can.
And good on you for doing it. And that's one of the reasons I'm talking about it tonight.
Yeah.
Because I feel the same way. But people like you and me and those of us who are desperately wanting to see representative government, fairness, justice in this country, we're kind of peeing in the wind, Michelle. I mean, if you can't get it, not you, if one cannot get high-profile Democrats to stand up on their hind legs and explain and scream and shriek about what's going on in Wisconsin, then the only conclusion I can draw is that when you said at the start of your call that, you know, two political parties, I just disagree with you, Michelle. I'm sorry, but I disagree. There are Democrats, there are Republicans, but I'd like to know the difference. Now, the union movement, I don't think the union movement feels anything from Democrats right now except total betrayal because nobody has helped them. So let's put it this way. You have organized worker movement. That's one force in American politics. And you have everything else on the other side. That's the other force. That includes Democrats and Republicans. So I would like to think that what I'm doing tonight in talking about this is aligning myself with the working person movement, the union movement. And exactly. I think that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
I called you back in 2010 about the Meg Whitman race, and thankfully that,
yeah.
I think because of Nikki Diaz, I mean, otherwise it could have gone very differently. But, you know, it's like when they have all this money, when they're throwing out millions and billions of dollars,
yeah.
How can you compete? I mean, you can't.
How can you? People, we have been so conditioned by television. We've been so ruined with advertising, which is nothing more than propaganda.
Exactly.
We have been destroyed by it to the point where a clown, an idiot, a halfwit like Mitt Romney, who should be, right now polling in the low 20s, is polling almost even with Obama. Not that Obama is that good, but he's not Mitt Romney. But here is this clown, this halfwit, Mitt Romney, who will say anything. He would tell his mother he became a Jew if he thought that would get his mother's vote. He is a liar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But television advertising, you know, the wealthy 1/100th of 1%, they know exactly where to put their money. They don't put their money in door-to-door canvassing. They really don't put their money in that kind of advertising. That kind of direct advertising. They go for television because everybody in this country watches television, and they put out the lying, the hateful, deceitful copy over and over and over again. Good luck with what you're doing.
Right,
I wish you the best, Michelle.
Okay.
Let's talk maybe Wednesday after this is over, all right?
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned to your TV. There are ponies who are talking. There are wasters who read. There are people here who do not even own a TV. Everybody be careful. Oh, everybody be careful. Oh, everybody be careful.
Everything I know about my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun. And the TV...
Mike, do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
before the hour. Stephen is in Burbank, California, listening on Sirius. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Well, again, we get to talk about the power of money. I called about profiling, and it has something to do with the power of money. We see the power of money with the billionaires throwing money for elections and all that neat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I called about profiling because I fit the profile of the middle-aged junkie, you know, with long hair and plaid shirts, beat-up car. I've been pulled over, you know, and searched and all that. I guess they finally found out you can't judge a book by its cover.
Well, I don't think anyone's discovered that. I think that happens all the time, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, taking around it in the old bookshop. Well, neither one. Here I'm trying to do figurative and literal. So anyway, you know, if the cops want to profile every morning on the 405 South from the San Fernando Valley to downtown L.A., you'll see upscale cars imported and whatnot. You'll see the clean-shaven, you know, short-haired guys with their suit jackets hanging on the hook in the back seat.
Uh-huh.
Those are the guys you can profile because you can pull them over and get more cocaine out of more pullovers from those cars that you can.
Yeah, but you know, if the cops started doing that, one of those guys would be a high profile or knows a high profile civil liberties attorney, and of course they would start screaming probable cause and profiling. See, it's only profiling if they white folks only pay attention to profiling if it happens to them.
Yeah, you're stealing my thunder. I was going to go to that. But we can take it a step further and wonder if there are secret court orders that order the police to give the cocaine back to the yuppies.
What can I say?
Hey, crazier things are happening right now.
Yeah, what do you think of the situation in Wisconsin? Give me a prediction. What's going to happen tomorrow?
Well, I think Scott Walker might... you know, lose by one-tenth of 1 point, and there's going to be drag out for month after month after month. It might even go to the Supreme Court, and then who knows?
Well, if it goes to the Supreme Court, they'll declare Scott Walker the winner, no matter what the actual vote count is. That's just what this fascist Supreme Court is all about, and, you know, we've known that since December 12th, 2000. So, but let me rephrase the question. What do you think is going to be reported as the popular vote? Not the numbers, but the results of the popular vote. Do you think that Scott Walker will be recalled, or do you think that Barrett will lose?
Oh, well, let's toss a coin. Or we can ask Sanchez for his Joe Lieberman's crystal ball.
I have a very bad feeling that... Walker may retain his office.
And you know what? We don't worry about it because the Occupy movement, we've been saying this for a while, it is a politics beyond politics. And you were even talking about that when, you know, we talked about the screws are being tightened. Maybe they'll get tightened so much that the zombies will snap out of their trance. You know, maybe they'll really begin to see the reality of what these movers and shakers are all about, finally.
That would be a good thing. That would be a good thing.
Of course it would. And those of us on the left could use some advice about how to try and promote that message and, you know, get the monkey rucks on our side of the aisle to maybe start thinking in terms of communication, you know, telling things. And so that's what I'm trying to do now, you know. I think it's like being a white blood cell in, you know, with an infection or something.
Yeah.
Right. Just going around, hey, yeah, you're sick, you know, you gotta reorganize the way you're functioning within this system.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's, you know, we can hope.
Of course.
It's about all we can do, right?
It's in my latest essay, boss.
All right, Stephen. Where's your latest essay?
Well, 6.5 pages of it are in draft, and the other 21 pages are hanging on the wall.
Well, when do you post this stuff?
Well, No. See, what happened was I made mention that I wanted to write an essay about zombies, and you said, okay, send it to me. And I had no intention of writing the essay, but you put the pressure on me, so I wrote the essay and sent it to you.
You and sent it to me?
I hope I did. Well, what happened was the first time I sent it, there was a mailer daemon, you know, and then...
Well,
and then I dug it out of sand. It was all shot to pieces, you know, with all that different, you know, the lines, half the lines are missing.
All right, let me tell you how to do it. Just send it to MalloyProducer@AOL.com. Send it to Kathy, MalloyProducer@AOL.com, when you're finished with it.
Okay, and I'm wondering if I would get in trouble, because I'm going to send this to the Daniel Singer Foundation. It's a thing they're happening from the nation, and I'm wondering if I put you on the CC if it would get us in trouble or anything.
you can put me on anything you want to put me on.
Yeah, but would it reduce the chances of winning the big prize?
Well, no, not necessarily.
Well, there aren't any chances anyway, so what's the problem?
That's true. All right, stay in touch, Stephen.
Okay, bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Ruth Conniff on Sunday, writing at thedailypage.com. Legal cloud gathers over Scott Walker. With the recall election less than 2 days away, federal prosecutors are closing in on Governor Scott Walker, according to veteran political reporter David Schuster. Former Attorney General Peg Lautenschlager and former District Attorney Bob Jambois. In a conference call organized by state Democrats on Saturday last, Schuster, Lautenschlager, and Jambois laid out evidence that Walker is the target of a federal investigation based on conversations with a lawyer who has knowledge of the investigation. Quote, we believe, this is Wisconsin Democratic Party Communications Director Graham Zielinski. Said, we believe that Scott Walker set up a secret computer network in the governor's office and Department of Administration offices, and that the John Doe investigation, because they haven't named anybody, is seeking evidence of crimes he committed in Madison. Walker denies the allegations. He answered absolutely not to reporters' questions. He says it's nonsense. Schuster, on the other hand, said, I stand by my reporting 100%. It's clear to me that he is, in fact, a target in a federal investigation. So, you know, one way or the other, I guess. I don't know. I just hope that the people of Wisconsin will deny this criminal. This arrogant son of a bitch who gets into office and immediately starts destroying the lives of people in his own state for no reason other than the fact that he can and he's been directed to. This is the price the Koch brothers extract. This is when you make a deal with this huge, monstrous, satanic creature called the Koch brothers, you give up your soul. You give up your dignity. You give up your humanity. You say, yeah, make me governor. Maybe I'll be vice president someday. What do you want me to do in return? I'll do anything. Just tell me. Jesus, God. You don't believe in possession? You don't believe in demonic influences? you crazy. You are crazy out of your mind if you don't. Not in the supernatural, crazed, psycho-Christian kind of stuff, but I'm talking about the real-life demons like Rupert Murdoch and the Koch brothers, and just write down the list. I mean, you know the names. You think these are real people? Janet is in Springfield, Missouri. Hello, Janet.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
Oh, hanging in there.
Good.
Hanging and hanging in there.
I hear you.
Obama, he is backing the Democrat in Wisconsin. He sent money and lawyers down, and Bill Clinton went down to thump the ground.
What has Obama showed up there?
No, he didn't. He didn't show up. But I seen on CNN News, Scott Walker. Walker was saying that Obama didn't even come. But I heard Obama's spokesperson said he sent $1 million and he sent lawyers down there to make sure the count and everything would go right. Because you know they're going to try to steal it regardless.
Well, I do know that. Janet, I got a boogie. There's a commercial kind of music sound. Thanks for checking in. I hadn't heard about any kind of support from the Obama administration at all. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
They sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now.
Was wrapped up in clover. The night I.
Before the hour, phone number here is 877-996-2556. Kevin is in Colorado Springs. Hey, Kevin. Oh, thanks for sending me that story about the Aurora arrests.
No problem. It shocked me when I saw it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it happens to minorities much more often, but this thing was in the afternoon, I believe. People were detained for no reason other than we're looking for a bank robber. And you're going to work, you're going to pick up your kid, and you're held for 2 hours. Some of them were held for over 2 hours. And people in Wisconsin, it doesn't tie in, but it does, because you can expect more of this. The more you elect these Republican creeps, the more you're going to get things like this happen. And I can't, Mike, I'm considering very strongly, if Barrett loses that election tomorrow, I'm considering very strongly pulling my membership out of the Democratic Party. And when I get asked why by the local Democratic chairperson, I'm simply going to say because the Democrats didn't support Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you're right. We've got one party. That's basically what it is now. And if the Democrats are not going to serve us, then why be in the party with them?
Right.
I'll go be part of the Occupy Party.
I mean, you know my position on this, Kevin. I just don't see any reason whatsoever for anyone to continue to send money to the Democratic Party on any level. Now, you can work for independent candidates.
Yep.
Who may want to say that they're running on the Democratic ticket because they don't feel there's any support for a third party. But as far as the Democratic Party itself is concerned, with the kind of contempt that the Democratic Party holds in a situation like this one for the people of Wisconsin, I'm talking about the National Democrats. I can't believe. I mean, this president said that he was so pro-union that if a situation came up where unionized workers were being harassed or whatever, he said he'd put on his comfortable shoes and go walk a picket line. Now, even allowing for the kind of nonsense that is said in a political campaign. That was in its specificity. That left Obama open to the charge when he didn't show up. You lied.
Yep.
So there is, I don't know why anyone would support a political party to begin with. It makes no sense whatsoever. I think what does make sense is supporting individual candidates on a local level with your shoe leather, you know, walking neighborhoods, ringing doorbells, passing out not slick literature that talks about what this candidate is going to do if he or she is elected. But a party sending money to a political party for what?
Not when they do things like what they've done with the election in Wisconsin.
That's the truth.
And you know, I see articles nationally about why Obama hasn't gone to Wisconsin. He's made a calculation that that's the best thing to do.
Yeah, well.
Man, I if Barrett loses, how many of those Wisconsin people, Democrats, do you think are going to vote for Obama in the national election?
I think a lot of people will just walk away from the whole system.
Exactly.
We're getting so close to it. And now's a good time to walk away from the system because the system is totally corrupt. There is no way that voting Republican or Democrat is going to change the system. It simply is not going to happen. We've talked about this over and over again on this program. I think a lot of people who understand how corrupted the entire political system in this country has become would agree with that. If you want change, there are ways to bring change to this country. Sending money to the Democratic Party or sending money to the Republican Party or cutting your own throat or whatever is not going to work. There needs to be massive, unstoppable public resistance. There needs to be civil disobedience on a level that this country has never seen. And if that ever happens, which I'm beginning to believe it will not, but if it were ever to happen, then perhaps we could get our system back and change it into a system that makes sense.
One can always well, like the one person said, you still got to fight.
No, so. That's true. You do. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks a lot. And thanks for that article on the white folks in Aurora. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, these are just people going to work. Yeah, a lot of black folk. I'm just on my way to work. I'm on my way to the bank, and not to rob it. I'm on my way to pick up my kids at daycare. I'm on my way to pick up my kid at a $50,000 a year preschool, and you're stopping me because I have black skin? Why are you stopping me? Oh, there was a robbery in the neighborhood? So why are you stopping me? Oh, the robber was African American. Do I look like a robber? You can't be too sure. I see. You want to cuff me with my hands in front or in back? It is 7 past the hour. Okay, I got a couple, you know, I said about no support from the Democrats. Let me see what I got here. National Democrats. This is from Jamie. Mike, I believe that today, President Obama finally, on the eve of the gubernatorial recall election in Wisconsin, finally issued a statement of support for the Democratic candidate, Tom Barrett. Bold move, huh? Another day or two and Obama would have missed this election, only the third of its kind in our country's history altogether. I don't know if the statement came with any funds, legal support, or comfortable shoes. Best regards, Jamie in Baltimore. Prairie 2 writes, independents are breaking for Barrett in current polling. Obama has provided massive organizational support, reports of massive turnouts for organized door knocking based in urban churches exceed any previous election. Turnout may exceed the last presidential election when the urban turnout was relatively low. This will determine the outcome. Election fraud is more difficult in Wisconsin than other states. And Republican operatives tipped their hand during the disputed state Supreme Court election last year. Teams of lawyers are in place to watch them. Well, let's hope that Prairie 2 is right. And also that Jamie, well, I know Jamie's right because that seems to be standard operating procedure for the National Democrats, including President Obama. Wait until the last moment, huh? That way you keep a lower profile and your support won't come back to haunt you during your election or something like that. You know, I don't know. It just seems to me that if you have a situation, as the situation developed in Wisconsin after Scott Walker's election, that all real Democrats would have been on their feet immediately once it became clear what Walker was doing. I mean, there were thousands, tens of thousands of people that showed up in Madison, in the Capitol Rotunda, in the streets. The truth is, that was the precursor to the Occupy movement, was what happened in Madison. After that, the Occupy movement began. So where were the National Democrats? Where indeed? Back to your calls. Derek is in New Mexico. Hello, Derek.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
I want to tell you, you are the best storyteller. When you told that snake handling story, that was the most entertaining thing. I mean, when the lights go out, electricity goes out, and we have nothing left, and no TV and no radio, you're going to have to come by and tell stories.
Well, I'll tell you, we all like stories. You know, I grew up here having stories told to me, and I've told them to Molly and blah, blah, blah. We all
you're
like...
a talented cat, I got to tell you, with the storytelling.
Well, thanks. Amazing. I appreciate it, Derek.
The thing I hate more than phony conservatives...
Yeah?
I think it's phony liberals, but
oh,
maybe it's all in the same part.
Yeah.
I can't tell you all my friends I'm just having a terrible time with. I mean, they will support Obama, doesn't matter. And I turn around and I say to them, if there's a pasty old white man with these policies, would you still support him? And they look at me like, well, and I said, come on, you know? I mean, it's just amazing. It's just like they just don't back down. They will not. And then I hear that Bill Maher gave him $1 million after he was against the National Defense Appropriations Act. But why are you giving the man $1 million?
Right, right.
I'm totally confused. I'm lost. The people are supposed to have a brain. I don't get it.
Well, I don't either. I mean, I do get it, and so do you. We both know what's happened to this political system. And you know, I've said it before. I haven't said it lately. But rather than blame these two, blame the Democratic Party, there really is only one place to put the responsibility, and that's on the voters. You know, the voters, working class voters betrayed, totally and utterly betrayed Democratic Party principles during the Reagan years with that term, Reagan Democrats. When Reagan gutted the Air Traffic Controllers Union and got away with it, and working class America didn't take to the streets in the millions and say, no, this is not going to happen, that was the signal to the right wing that they could do anything.
All and he was the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
So. Oh, sure. But
yeah.
he was also a spy for the FBI. He also spied on his fellow union members during the Red Scare.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And
he used to do those television commercials for GE and all that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it's easy for me, it's easy for a lot of people to scream and yell and rant and rave about the National Democrats, how they have let the country down. But when you get right down to it, you get the kind of government you deserve. And that's damn sure happened here. We allowed this to happen by not voting, by turning out in droves, 30% for national or for representatives, and 62% for senators, and then maybe 65% for a presidential election. So we gave it away, and like nature, politics abhors a vacuum, and we'll move in with a totalitarian form, and here we are.
Okay, well, have a good one. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Derek. I mean, am I right or am I right? Nobody marched in here with guns, like we have marched into countries before and overthrown governments. No, nobody did that here. Didn't happen. We just got too cute. We got too cute for words, right? Ah, let's party. Let's party. The 80s was one great big-ass, coke-infested, saturated disco boogie. Greed is good. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, everybody. Yee-haw. In the meantime, the real political operatives that were fueling the game and fueling the party said, that's right. That's right. Party on. Party like it's 1999, suckers, because, well, you're partying. We're taking over the system. And it's very simple. I mean, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So it's easy for me to be flip and blame the Democratic Party leadership. It's easy for me to be flip and blame these filthy, disgusting, corpse-eating Republicans. But the truth is, we the American people allowed this to happen. We really did. We got too busy. You going to go vote today? Nah, it's raining out. Yeah? It's not raining this side of town. Well, it's coming your way. Oh, well, screw it then. Nobody came in here with guns. Nobody came in and installed a viceroy. Nobody gave us a Hamid Karzai. Nobody gave us a Somoza. I can go right down the list. I know I'm not going to bore you with that. But you understand what I'm saying, right? You do, don't you, truth seeker? So we gave it away. We did. We gave it away by inaction, by saying, ooh, politics, ooh, they're all the same. Ooh, I'm not getting my hands dirty with that. Ooh, ooh, ooh. No, I don't think so. Ooh. I'm not going to participate in that crappy system. Ooh. Okay. Okay. So here we are. Huh? No, you don't agree? All right, we have an open line here if you want to call in. 877-996-2556. We'll be right back.
Oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV.
21 past the hour. Kevin sends an email in response, or he writes, my response to Prairie 2. So, Bruce, if you're listening, here you go. So, the president has provided logistical support for the Barrett campaign. When did this happen? Was it soon after Wisconsin Democrats pleaded with Debbie Wasserman Schultz to send some sort of help to Wisconsin? That was, what, maybe 2 weeks ago? Good for them. The fact is, both the president and the DNC have treated the Wisconsin recall like it was an infectious disease. The president giving a statement supporting the Barrett campaign 1 week before the election has all the weight of his signing statements on the NDAA. Nice that he did it, but it doesn't help much at all. Kevin in Colorado Springs. Nancy is in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Hello, Nancy.
Well, hi, Mike. It's a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with you this evening. We're right in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is the big day. I absolutely agree. Obama and the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz should have done more. But as the teabaggers always insist, you have to be self-reliant. And the people here in Wisconsin have done just that. We are on the verge, I think, of pulling off a big win tomorrow for Tom Barrett and Malon Mitchell. Yesterday, I was at a campaign event for Tom Barrett here in Stevens Point with an overflow crowd, wall to wall. We were packed in like sardines at the venue that we were at, and it was probably 100 people pouring outside into the parking lot. And I looked to my left, and here was Brett Baier of Fox News. And the crowd started chanting, Fox lies, Fox lies. And the look on his face, I read the look on his face that they're worried. Mm-hmm. When they're sending one of their anchors to follow Tom Barrett around to all these little communities in Wisconsin, it said they are worried that Scotty Boy is going down. There are reports tonight that he is the target of the John Doe investigation, so he may very well be on the verge of being indicted, probably too late to have an impact, on some of these people that stand with Scott Walker,
right,
to realize what a mistake they're making. Eventually, he's going to get frog marched out of there. But I think we're close. There's also reports of robocalls from, I'm not sure who's funding it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was the Koch brothers, that if you signed the petition, you've done everything you can do, and there's no need for you to vote.
Yeah, that's we mentioned that earlier this evening.
Yeah.
That's definitely coming from, we got the information from the Barrett campaign. It's definitely people who are Republicans who are using the same kind of trickery. Republicans don't give a damn about legitimate government. What they care about is power for their handlers, for their owners. That's all they care about.
Right, naked power. They don't care how they get it. And part of the problem with Democrats is that we think they're going to play fair. We thought they were going to play fair in the Kloppenburg debacle when Waukesha County produced 14,000 votes out of thin air, and that Prosser got in for another 10 years.
That was a Supreme Court justice.
That was right, yes, yeah. Wisconsin Supreme Court. Who knows what will happen tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
That's why, I mean, I've written open letters, I've canvassed. I just came home this evening from phone calling. You know, people are getting 2 and 3 and 4 calls in a day from all the various organizations, United Wisconsin, the Democratic Party. There are so many different groups that are working for this recall. I think we're energized. I just hope that we can pull it out tomorrow. I've got a feeling it's going to go our way. I certainly hope so.
Are you allowing yourself to think of the alternative, or are you just staying positive?
If Scott Walker should survive this recall election, I think the next step will be he will be indicted and he will be removed from office. But then what will happen is, presumably, if Rebecca Clayfish, the lieutenant governor, survives the recall election, she'll become governor.
Mm-hmm.
There's three outcomes that I would be happy with. One would be Barrett, Malin, Mitchell are elected.
Right.
The second one would be Barrett's elected and Clayfish
mm-hmm.
survives. The third one would be Walker survives and Malin Mitchell becomes the lieutenant governor. Then Walker is indicted and Malin Mitchell becomes governor.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three outcomes that I could live with, but I'd prefer, of course, Barrett Mitchell. Obviously.
Well, yeah, well, sure. But I think it goes without the least bit of doubt, Nancy, that anyone who cares about how this country is being perverted by the political system and most notably by the Republicans are going to be watching this election tomorrow in just about the same kind of abated breath as we would a presidential election. That's my opinion anyway. Nancy, thanks. I got a boogie. I appreciate you checking in. Take care.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. And everybody...
Your Day's Creeping with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, a couple of emails here. First one from Prairie 2. Bruce writes, seriously, you think Democrats are going to walk away if they lose this election? They all consider themselves part of a movement, or they would already be independents. They don't think that way, and they never will. You want 30 million people in the streets. The only people that will ever do that are Democrats. Teaching them they are stupid for continuing to be Democrats isn't going to make that happen. You're only preaching to a choir of cynics. Really? A choir of cynics. By pointing out that the Democratic Party... It's ridiculous. It's a parody of what the Democratic Party was 35 years ago. No, I'm sorry, Prairie 2. I'm not preaching to a choir of cynics. Not at all. There are some people, I think, I truly believe, if I didn't believe this, I would have given up long ago, who understand that a couple of things, that both political parties are part of the same system. And even with all the screaming and yelling on the Democratic side of the aisle, you know, what's his name? The Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. Don't you think that it would have been fairly easy for him to set the rules in this session of the Senate, the rules as to how legislation is considered? As to how things are filibustered, why do you think the Democrats just pee their pants and run out of the room every time the Republicans say the word filibuster? Now, I'm sorry, Prairie 2. I'm not going to give you an inch on this. The Democratic Party has turned into an entire clutch of suckers. That's all. I mean, suckers in the sense that they suck the life out of the political party, the Democratic Party, until there's nothing left. As far as the rank and file, as far as Democrats, they would be much better served to rip away this phony-ass label of I'm part of the Democratic Party and declare themselves part of a working class party, a green party, a union party. What the hell is a Democratic Party doing? Nothing. Except continuing a system that is dead. It's decaying. Show me some leadership in the Democratic Party. Show me somebody who is really standing up on their hind legs and demanding that the Democratic Party act like the Democratic Party. There is no one. It's not being done. Nobody. Not even the usual clutch of liberals that are still in the Congress that are Democrats. No, I'm sorry. You want political change, get the hell away from the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Just get away from them. And as far as the 30 million people in the streets, there might be some Democrats, there might be some Republicans. But it's not going to be organized by the Democratic Party in any way. One open line, 877-996-2556. And then from GK in Minnesota, Mike, question, how many billionaires in Wisconsin and other states does it take to make the people of Wisconsin vote against their own best interest? Thanks to Citizens United, well, the sky's the limit. You mean all those billionaires out there care so much about all the children, the teachers, police, social workers, firefighters, and the infrastructure and job creation in the state of Wisconsin? How touching. No, the only thing those right-wing, fascist, religious, stretching, gun-toting freaks out there care about is the Republican Party and all the death, destruction, loss of jobs, inequality, and oh so many areas in which they help to create with all their billions. In many ways, this is a microcosm of what's going on throughout this country. But you know that. Keep exposing those rat bastards. GK in Minnesota. Jim is in Las Vegas listening on Sirius. Hello, Jim.
What's up, Mike?
You are.
Mike, I think you're unfortunately right on. I want to hope that somehow the Democrats are going to pull out of it, but I don't see it. But I don't see any other way voting. I mean, I could vote Green Party, but that's not going to help. What do you think?
I think you ought to vote whatever way you want to vote. I've said that in order to change the system, voting Democrat is not going to change a damn thing. If people are serious about changing the system, then it's going to take millions and millions of people in the streets, as Chris Hedges has suggested, in massive acts of civil disobedience and refusing to continue to participate in our own destruction. This is asinine. This is insane. For anyone who thinks that voting for a candidate with a D after his or her name is going to change things, that's madness. For Christ's sake, we've been doing it for how many years?
50.
Okay. So it's just crazy to keep thinking, well, you know, the Democrats are going to get inspired. Well, President Obama's really going to turn out to be a good leader here. No, it's not. Nothing is going to change. And the reason it's not is because the system is built in such a way that change is impossible. Yeah, I don't mean to say the system is built that way. That's the way it has been restructured by the 0.1%. It cannot be changed. Somebody tell me how it can. You can't get elected to the legislative body or the executive branch, and you can't get appointed to the Supreme Court unless you have the backing of corporate capitalist America's 0.1%. You don't have that, you're going nowhere, booby. So forget about it. Voting Democrat doesn't mean a goddamn thing any longer. The only thing that means anything is to bring the machine to a stop.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with you. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks, Jim. No, I do. I've said it before. I get tired of otherwise intelligent people telling me and telling themselves, well, you know, salvation just around the corner. Well, blah, blah, blah. And no matter where you look, look at this economy, look at the global economy, look at our political system, look at the breakdown of political systems all over the planet. The only thing that's going to work, and I hate to sound like somebody rising up against the Marcos family, but the only thing that's going to work is people power. And people power will never happen until folks realize that they do have the power and can exercise it, but they damn sure can't exercise it alone or in groups of 10. Those days are gone. Stop thinking that it's still there. It isn't. You can't sit down with a mimeograph machine and a bunch of people in a goddamn basement now and go to work for a candidate and get him or her elected and bring about change. That is nonsense. That's the kind of thinking that will perpetuate the system that we are in now. Total gridlock, total deadlock for everybody except the 0.1%. Get your head out of your ass. Stop thinking like that. This system cannot be changed. And it will not be changed. There are other forms of self-governance that we haven't even tried. And if we don't, because of a lack of motivation, okay, go vote Democrat. Go ahead. Go vote Republican. Go ahead. Hell, for that matter, go vote Green. Do whatever you like. And continue to jerk yourself around like you're making some progress and headway. Go ahead. Keep it up. The system has been constructed in such a way that it is unreformable. Do you not get that? And this is what all the so-called liberals keep smashing their heads up against the wall about. Well, okay, if we defeat Walker, yay, we're home free! Oh, well. Dave is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Mike. Boy, I'm one of those liberals, and what you were just saying makes some sense, but it's a lot for me to wrap my mind around. But I'm not going to disagree with you. And here I am talking about Walker. Good timing, huh? I have got a good explanation of why Wisconsin, the people of Wisconsin, are so interested in giving the guy the boot. You know the Old South.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin is not the Old South. I've visited the Old South several times, and one thing I can tell you, there are some beautiful places, but some places that are just not attractive.
Hey, Dave, hold on a second. Let me put you on hold and come back. I got to do a commercial break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. In my prior message, I should have given a big shout-out to those in Wisconsin who worked long and hard for months to put multiple recalls in motion. They've shown us what true democracy looks like. They are awesome. Awesome Americans. Dare I say heroes. Right. And it had... If somebody in the Democratic Party wants to claim responsibility for the recall movement, go ahead. I'm sure that the people who work their asses off would have a disagreement with that. Back to Dave in Minneapolis. Okay, Dave.
Hey, Mike. traveling down into the south, I noticed that there were some beautiful areas, wonderful homes, and then just almost right beside them were areas just crushing poverty.
Right.
And as a person from the upper Midwest, that's very disturbing. But the people of the south seem just fine with it. Not only the rich, but the poor. I got to tell you, Mike, I used to be an elementary school teacher, and when we taught a bit on the Middle Ages, I showed my kids a video that was made over in England about, you know, some restored medieval village where, you know, the people are, you know, like Sturbridge Village,
right.
And Plymouth Plantation,
mm-hmm.
And Williamsburg. And this one woman is saying, we eat bread, but we eat bean bread. We don't eat wheat bread like the sheriff eats because that isn't for the likes of us.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, I went, holy crap. You know, they actually did believe that they were kind of a lower class of
sure.
human being.
Sure.
And you see that in the South. And that's why the Delta flight attendants voted not to unionize. They trust their masters. Mike Papantonio calls it the plantation
mentality.
Thank you. And you know, Wisconsin, I grew up in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois have had as much time as states of the Deep South to develop a plantation mentality themselves, and yet they've always chosen not to. Now here comes Scott Walker, and he's trying to make Wisconsin into another South Carolina or another Alabama or Mississippi, and the people do not want it.
Well, I pretty much agree with what you're saying, the plantation mentality, but I would disagree that you only find it in the South. Have you ever been to Detroit?
I didn't see, you know, there's church.
Well, have you,
Crow's Point right next to your, you know, slums.
Right. Have you been to Cleveland, Lorain, Elyria, Toledo, Lima? I mean, I can go on and on here. Have you been
they
to...
They actually believe that the upper, you know, the higher socioeconomic people are a better class of people? Because everywhere I've gone, that would have been just, you know, laughed at.
Well, I grew up in Toledo, Ohio, and the plantation mentality was alive and kicking all those years ago. Class is the idea of class structure and class divisions is not something that's limited to the Deep South. I'm afraid that you are misleading yourself if you think it is strictly a Southern thing.
I know that sort of thing does exist, but I'll tell you, among the poor there here in the North, there's not the acceptance of it. You know, we still, I'm not poor, I'm not rich, but I, you know, we want to view ourselves as basically.
Well, I can't argue a position, Dave, that goes from the micro to the macro. I'm sure, I mean, I've lived in the South for 45 years now. And, yeah, I have seen abject poverty close at hand to the so-called 0.1%. But as far as people in the South being any different in accepting their lot in life, different from unemployed workers in the North, and maybe that was true in your experience. I mean, I can't really get into that because I'm not a sociologist, A, B. I don't have any kind of information in front of me except what you're talking about. And your anecdotal information is important to you. I don't disagree with that. That's fine. Dave, got to go. Thanks. I think it's probably fitting to quote the Sproul Hall Steps speech, December 2nd, 1964. It's very brief. Mario Savio, who wound up being the progenitor of the free speech movement until he got away from it because he said, I think in 67, he said that the leadership had gotten too far from the rank and file. Sound familiar? But his famous words, there's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. Now, those words were spoken in 1964, for God's sake. And a lot of that was directed toward the administration of UC Berkeley. But isn't that what, I mean, wouldn't that be applicable now? Forget the Republican Party. They're a bunch of goddamn Nazis. Wouldn't that be applicable to the Democratic Party? Isn't that, or to people who are Democrat, not the party, but to people who are Democrats? Huh? When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, it makes you sick at heart. You can't take part. You got to put your bodies on the gears and the wheels and the levers. You got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. I mean, hello? See you tomorrow night. I'm Mike Malloy. Take care. Keep it lit.